It's Saturday morning and time for the Coach's Show. An in-depth look at high school sports with the coaches and players behind the headlines on News Radio KWOS 950 and 104.5. Here's Missouri Hall of Fame sportscaster Kevin Kelly.
Good morning and welcome to the Coach's Show. The first half hour, we will wrap up the high school football season. As you know, the Hawias Crusaders and the Blair Oaks Falcons winning state championships last weekend, last Friday night at Atkins Stadium, captured the Class 4 state football crown. And then Saturday night at Atkins Stadium, Blair Oaks defeated Maryville for the Class 3 state football title. And joining us is Falcons head football coach Ted LePage. First of all, congratulations on the state title, Coach.
Thanks, Kevin. It was a heck of a lot of fun and great season, really, really different season, but players did an outstanding job. Just couldn't be more proud of them last week.
You know, when you step back and take a look at the season overall, was there a particular point in time where you said, hey, this could be a special season and possibly a state championship?
I think it started last December, actually. We met about 2 weeks after we had lost to Cassville, and I just felt a different sense of urgency out of our team. We were very young 2 years ago, and those players turned around and made a decisive role that they were going to step up this year and really give it everything they got. And then once we went into the pandemic, it was like every day, a senior, juniors, they were sending me their workouts. It was really a lot of inspiration during that time because we were off, but at the same time, we were still together working out. And then it just continued to build as the season wore on. And I would say after Valley, just the focus that came every day to practice. We never had a bad practice after that. And, you know, you're going to have days where everything's not going to go right, but we just never seemed to be down. We never seemed to be out. It just seemed like our players were very, very engaged after that.
You talked about Valley Catholic, and that was your only loss in the season. But that was a situation, too, where you really didn't know till the very end of the middle of the week whether you were even going to have a football game, and then you ended up having to go to Valley Catholic and not much time to prepare for that game against a team that traditionally is a power in the state of Missouri.
Well, they're going to continue to be a power. They do such a good job down there. I think the biggest issue we ran into that day is just we didn't prepare for them, and it wasn't because of the lack of the players or lack of coaches. It was just the situation and the timing of the whole pandemic situation. We found out on Thursday night at about 2 o'clock, we found out Wednesday night at about 5 o'clock that we weren't going to have a game. Mm-hmm. We began the search, and we always have our practice on Thursday morning. So we went in and talked to the kids on Thursday morning, went through and had our normal practice. And then about 2 o'clock, I'm sorry, my dogs are going crazy here. About 2 o'clock on Thursday, Valley called and said, hey, we'll play. And we're like, okay. We scheduled a time to meet at Union, and they said, no, the only way we're going to play is if you all come here. And so Dr. Jones and Mr. Felton and I made a corporate decision at that point in time and said, we'd rather play football than not. And so we went down there and literally had no practice time for them. But they really exposed us on some things that eventually helped us. I will say that. It really did. You never want to lose, but after that loss, I think we saw some things that we could do better as a staff and we could do better as a team, and it really helped us down the stretch.
Class 3 title game, you defeated Maryville by a score of 62-40. What a night for your quarterback, Dylan Hare. He had over 460 yards of total offense in the ball game.
He just did everything that Dylan does. You know, we saw it. I would say we really started to see it last year in the summer before his freshman year. There were some things that Dylan did that, unfortunately, we can't coach. And fortunately, he's on our team, so he can play. But it was a situation where you really just saw some things in him that were just special. And on last Saturday night, I think it all culminated. And we remember that this kid has just turned 16. Mm-hmm. He has started now 27 games in high school, and he hasn't reached his debut yet. He's 25-2 and a starter, but I think that was really his coming out party where he was truly Dylan, where I'm going to run it, I'm going to throw it, I'm just going to let it all loose. And you really got to see something that was special about him that I think everybody else around our program knows, but the state got to see it. he just had a tremendous night. Now, there was a lot of great blocking up in front of him. I would start with Wilson. You go to Bryson Jeffries, Wyatt Bonnett, Griffin Hurst, and also Caden Helscher. Mm-hmm. Those five guys just did a tremendous job blocking, along with Jaden Purdy. Jaden Purdy may have had more punishing blocks in the state championship game we've seen all year, and shows the selflessness he has as a running back. He was just wanting to win the game. And our receivers do such a good job that they have to really honor them. But Dylan really had a good night. A
couple of numbers I want to get your comments on. First of all, at the end of the season, you end up averaging over 51 points a game. And the second one, we talked about this last week, the giveaway takeaway, you end the season with a plus 34. I've never seen that before.
It was a growth in process. I think of something that's more statistically, and then I knew we were going to do a show, I kind of looked it up. We only gave the football away on fumbles three times this year.
Mm-hmm.
That is tremendous. That goes back to Coach Kevin Aleywine, Coach Lerone Briggs, Coach Jocelyn Brink, Coach Gary Ferguson, work day in and day out of anti-fumble drills, not turning the ball over, not beating ourselves. In high school football, if you don't beat yourself, you got a really good chance to win. I know it sounds simple, but a lot of teams just make mistakes during the game that give the game away, and that's one thing we didn't do. But then on the other side of the ball, the turnover drills we do every day, and we really, when we went to Blair Oaks as a staff, we sat down and said, that's one of the things we want to do. We want to create turnovers. We want to win the turnover battle. And our players really backed that up. We were a senior-dominated defense this year. We weren't offensively. We were very upperclassmen-dominated, but senior-dominated and trying to intercept the ball, trying to do whatever they could to get that ball back. They really took pride in that turnover.
Let's take a look at your football team, and I know you want to talk about these seniors.
Yes, you know, it all begins with Jake Closser. Jake started for us 2 years. We have several three-year starters. But Jake, for some reason this year, it came upon him that he was going to be the guy that he wanted everybody wanted to follow. Jake was first in, last out. He always had a positive attitude. He always was working at a high level, never got disgusted, never seen him just get frustrated. And he was a great example for the rest of our team, and that showed up with having over 1,000 yards receiving again. You go with Carson Pringer, who's a three-year starter for us and a three-year All-State player, just a phenomenal, phenomenal athlete, first of all. But second, his determination mirrored what Jake did. It seemed like when your best players are your hardest workers, it really makes things easy. And Carson was one of those guys, he didn't have to work hard. He's got the ability to be able to turn it on and turn it off. But his work ethic every day was bar none to anybody, and that was so special. Cade Stockman, 48 starts as a Blair Oaks Falcon. Mm-hmm. 48 starts, yep, as a Blair Oaks Falcon, everywhere from quarterback to outside linebacker to inside linebacker. Going to end his career as an All-State linebacker. Just conjugative, tough, gritty, everything you want, just really there. Then you got to go to Riley Niekamp, another started some games as a freshman before I even came there, and we heard about Riley before we ever got there, and he lived up to the true Billy, probably one of the most dominant defensive players in the history of Blair Oaks. Started 3 years, a three-year All-State player at the defensive position. Tremendous, tremendous veracity that he practiced and played with. Again, just that the unbelievableness. Levi Haney, another linebacker, also started safety for us, also played returner, also did all kinds of things. Another just great worker, Carson Fox. What he turned into this year, an All-State defensive end, and a very talented Class 3 defensive end. There's two SEC players that are potential players that have been offered out of the Class 3 defensive line, and Carson Fox is one of two to be first-team All-State, so tremendous. And again, another young man that just did everything he could. Kobe Marble, wow. He, for his size, what he brought every day to practice, what he brought every day to games, he started both ways for us. Tremendous, tremendous talent and just a great work ethic also. Ian Nolf, another person that just grew into his body as a sophomore. It was like, man, he's got a good-looking frame. And as he grew on and went into the weight room, developed into a heck of a player. Gavin Weckenberg, outside linebacker for us. And he was our backup quarterback. Probably would have started for 85% of the high schools in the state at quarterback. Tremendous teammate. You know, he didn't pout about it. He didn't get mad about it. He went and said, I'll go play outside linebacker. had a really great year as an outside linebacker. And then we go right into Jacob Brentlinger. He came out late for us and then helped contribute to doing a lot of things for us. Gabe Griffith, another kid that came out late, did a lot of good things with us. So we had a tremendous senior class that we're really going to miss. But James Thompson is a young man that probably goes unnoticed. Stepped in and played offensive line for us. He really, really did a good job when Bryson Jeffries was hurt. Never, ever pouted, never, ever got mad. Came every day, played on scout team, did whatever he could, wanted to be the ultimate consummate teammate to our players, and really glad that we had James on our team.
And Jaden Purdy had a great senior year for you, didn't he?
Yeah, I can't leave Jaden out. Jaden, really, when we came, Jaden wanted to be the running back. We had a running back that just did a tremendous job, and Roddy Lentz, and Jaden's the person that emulates what you want a high school football player to be about. He was a teammate, but when I get my turn, I'm going to show what I can do, and he sure did, man. He really had a great senior year. And again, the thing I can say about him, when people went to stop Dylan, we had the second option, and he, against Cardinal Ritter, really, really stepped up big, and against Louisiana North, really stepped up big. And then in the final game, Maryville decided they weren't going to let us run with Jaden, and that's where Dylan got to show off a little bit of his talents because Jaden was so selfless in what he did. So a tremendous football player.
What did you take away from the season?
Oh, resiliency. My dad used to have a saying, the sun's going to come up tomorrow. There's a lot of bad things happening in life, but the sun's going to come up tomorrow. And, you know, early on when we met Jim Jones, Corey Felton, Dr. Melinda A. Holt and I, Jim's message was we all need to say the same thing. We're going to win today, but we're going to get safely to tomorrow. And that just kind of brings me back to what my dad would say. The sun's going to come up on tomorrow. No matter how bad it is today, the sun's going to come out tomorrow. And our players really took that on this year. Every day we came back and went, this could be our last day, so we're going to make this our best day because we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. And that's, you know what? Sometimes when you live your life that way, that's a pretty doggone good way to live your life.
Coach, we always appreciate having you on Saturday mornings on the Coach's Show. Next football season is already right around the corner. You probably have the days till the first practice, but thank you for being on the Coach's Show. Thank you for pregame interviews, and we really enjoyed watching the Blair Oaks Falcons this year.
Well, thanks, Kevin. The feeling is very mutual. There's a lot of things going on. You're one of the guys that always is about the high school and promoting our community, and can't be more respectful or appreciative to anybody but yourself. But Wednesday morning, we have our first meeting for 2021, so let's go. Let's get it on. When's our next Coach's Show?
Coach, have a good weekend. Thank you so much for being on this morning.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, Blair Oaks Falcons head football coach Ted LaPage. I knew he would know when the next meeting would be and when the next practice would be. All right, we're back with more. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Now is the time to prepare the money you've saved in your 401k or deferred comp plan to work for you for the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Let Greg help make your retirement everything you imagined. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Trying to find a local restaurant with good fried chicken can be like trying to sink a basket from half court. You cross your fingers and hope for the best. Fortunately, there's Nick's Family Restaurant, featuring family-style food and seriously the best fried chicken in Jeff City. Check out their Facebook page to see what people are ordering and saying. Open Sunday through Friday for lunch and dinner. Introduce your family to their family at Nick's Family Restaurant, Village Square on East McCarty in Jeff City.
This holiday season, you'll spend more time shopping online instead of standing in line, but you'll still be on your feet a bunch, cooking and entertaining. This year may not feel normal, but experiencing aching and throbbing in your legs after the hustle of the holidays isn't normal either. So talk to Dr. Ryan and Missouri Vein Care to see if you might have a vein condition, because getting your life back is the greatest gift you could receive.
Hi, this is Dr. Michael Ryan with Missouri Vein Care. It's time to get active again. Start by scheduling your free vein screening at MissouriVeinCare.com.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. We are joined now by Helias Crusaders head football coach Chris Hinches. As everyone knows, last Friday night at Atkins Stadium, Class 4 state football title for the Helias Crusaders as they defeated MICDS by a score of 35-30. Coach, we talked about that ball game. You've had a week to additionally reflect on the season. What did the season mean to you?
Well, Kevin, thanks for having me on this morning. And, you know, it does. It was a long journey. And, you know, looking back, all 14 games were special. They were all challenging. Kind of going back and reflecting on each one. Each one presented, a different challenge to the football team. And, I was just so proud of the way the boys responded each and every week, and, the coaches and our preparation and our ability. Because each week is, it's a clean slate each week. And you always think about, okay, we just want to be 1-0 this week. And, whether you're facing a spread team or whether you're facing – a power run team, or you're facing a 3-4 or 4-3, you celebrate the win on a Friday night, and then you get together with the boys on a Saturday morning, and any teaching things that need to be done from Friday night we do, and then the process just begins all over again, and we watch the tape of the upcoming opponent and meet together on Sunday evening and get our game plans together and just go throughout the week, and it goes by really fast. It's a long season, but it goes by fast because your routine is in place and every day there's a new task. And, I just so proud of the way we went about our business this year despite all of the challenges with COVID, just went about our business, put our nose to the grindstone, and week after week, we got it done. An undefeated 14-0 season, very special accomplishment. Very, very proud of everyone involved with our program.
I want you to spend the rest of the time that we have before the bottom of the hour. Talk about your seniors.
Well, we're going to lose a really good group of kids. And, they mean a lot to the program. They mean a lot to me, because they bought in. 3 years ago they bought in. They hadn't experienced a lot of success. And they bought into the vision that we had for the program and just worked extremely hard. And we're going to miss each and every one of them. Starting up front with our offensive and defensive linemen, we had a lot of experience this year, which was really important to our success. And most of these guys put a significant contribution up front, for 2 years, both offensively and defensively. And they're going to leave a big hole. That our young O-line and D-line have really got to step up, and we're really going to challenge our young guys in the offseason to get themselves physically and mentally prepared to do that, because that's so important. And, in the skill position, losing Alex Clement at running back, he's been really a special playmaker for us the last 2 years. And, of course, our quarterback, Jacob Weaver, who yesterday was voted Class 4A Offensive Player of the Year. We like a lot of our young quarterbacks. They're going to be different, but Jake's going to be really, really hard to replace. And our tight end Damon Johans just really had a fantastic year for us. And again, we like a lot of our young tight ends, but again, they've got big shoes to fill. And it's not so much them and their ability. I could go through each and every one. Linebackers Isaac Lopez and Ethan Holzhauser, again, huge holes that they're going to leave on our defense. But I like our young linebackers. And these kids, these seniors that are left, were great mentors for our younger players. Not just what they do on the field, but what they do off the field. And they really demonstrated to our younger kids this is what has to be done in order to establish that kind of level, that kind of consistency, week in and week out, because they gave that consistent effort each and every day. Excuse me, and that I think that's going to be their legacy, is the work ethic that they put forth, and reestablishing that Helias football winning tradition. And sure, going to miss people too. They're a lot of fun to be around, and just we just had a lot of fun this year, and that's part of it too.
Yeah.
You know, the work is there, and that has to be done. But you know, their camaraderie as a group, their leadership, the relationships they build with one another and with the coaches, and I would say, you know, to a man, that tight knit relationship, you know, player to player, coach to player. And, you know, I'll even say our coaches, the way we get along with each other, makes the time that we put together very, very enjoyable. And then when you're enjoying what you're doing and you see the success and you see the progress of the program, it's really something you miss. You know, even it's been a long season, but we're going to miss that time with them. And I know they miss it with each other and miss it with the coaches, and just eternally grateful for everything they did. You know, our senior parents were great, and all the work that they did for us throughout the year, really making our jobs easy. Kind of miss our senior parents as well. But just extremely special season, and can't say thanks enough to the group that we're losing. But their legacy will live on. You know, we talked a lot about that, establishing that legacy, and that legacy will live on, and very, very, very grateful for everything they gave to us.
When you take a look at this season from the start to the end, was there a point in time where you said, you know what, this could be a very special year, we could potentially win a state championship?
There was no point in the season where that became like, oh gosh, it's going to happen now. We really thought it could happen from the start. I think we had that as our goal. You know, obviously the first year of the conference, we didn't know how that would run. You know, week one, you know, a good win against the Lutheran St. Charles. We were practicing and preparing for Hannibal, and that was pulled from us. And to pick up a Lutheran St. Charles in week one and have a good win against a really high-quality, talented team, I think that was an important step forward for us. And then going up to Hickman and really playing well up there. And then I would say week three, playing so well against Battle and beating them 41-19, that was a pretty important win for us, because we all know how talented Battle is each and every year. And to really thoroughly just handle them in that game and to look so good doing it, that I would say if there was a point, week three was that point, like, okay, we got this train rolling, let's keep it rolling. And we really did throughout the year from that point forward.
Coach, we always appreciate having you on every Saturday morning on the Coach's Show during the football season. Once again, congratulations on the Class 4 state football title.
Thank you, Kevin.
Elias Crusaders head football coach Chris Inches, once again, they finish undefeated at 14-0, as last Friday night at Atkins Stadium, they captured the Class 4 state football title with a 35-30 win over MICDS. And, of course, the Blair Oaks Falcons capture the football championship in Class 3. 13-1 is their record at the end of the season, as they defeated Maryville by a score of 62-40. Second half hour, we're going to have the communications director from the Missouri State High School Activities Association, Jason West, made announcements as far as district assignments for basketball, and there's some news as far as wrestling is concerned as well. And then we'll talk to Bobby Sangster, the head basketball coach for the California Lady Pintos. Today over at the Capital City High School, it's the 9th annual River Region Credit Union Shootout. He's got the first game at 11:30 as California meets Tipton. Back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show right here on KWOS.
Mott, feet staggered, left hash, takes the snap at his left knee. She's trying to get pressure. Pass is going to be intercepted this time! And the Honey Badger gets his second of the game! And the Kansas City Chiefs get the huge, big turnover to close the game again.
This Sunday, the Chiefs return to the site of last year's Super Bowl to take on the Miami Dolphins. Pregame starts at 11 on your home for Kansas City Chiefs football.
Chiefs football on KWOS is brought to you by Anne Marie Hopkins with Smarter Real Estate Group, powered by Columbia Real Estate.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Now is the time to prepare the money you've saved in your 401k or deferred comp plan to work for you for the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Let Greg help make your retirement everything you imagined. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Greg Kelly Reports is breaking records on Newsmax TV. President Trump was recently on, and millions tune into Newsmax every night. Greg asks the tough questions you want. Watch Greg Kelly at 7 p.m. Eastern or the rebroadcast. Newsmax is on all major cable systems and free on Roku, Zumo, YouTube, Pluto, and TVs like Samsung and LG. If your cable company doesn't carry Newsmax, call them and say you can switch if they don't carry it. Watch Newsmax today.
Give the best gifts this Christmas by choosing a rifle or shotgun made by Henry Repeating Arms. Henrys are made in America with the finest craftsmanship any patriot would be proud to own. There's more than 200 models to choose from for hunters, outdoorsmen, beginners, women, and collectors. They're reliable, affordable, and backed with a lifetime satisfaction guarantee. Visit henryusa.com to order our free holiday gift guide and two decals for stocking stuffers. That's henryusa.com.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. We are joined now by Jason West, who is the Missouri State High School Activities Association Communications Director. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. You know, last Saturday night with the championship game between Blair Oaks and Maryville, the fall sports season in the books for you, and I thought Jefferson City, Helias, and Blair Oaks did a great job of hosting the state title football games last week.
Lucked out in all four sites. Jefferson City hosted the Class 6 game a week earlier, as well as 3 and 4. Blair Oaks hosted Class 1 and 2, and then Helias Catholic hosting Class 5, and Chillicothe hosting the 8-man game.
Right.
All four sites did a great job, and were very easy to work with, and I think we really lucked out in those venues.
Jason, the winter sports season is underway. Give us an update as far as, I know that the board of directors, the Missouri State High School Activities Association, with the pandemic, continues to take a look at those issues. Where are we at right now as far as winter sports is concerned? And I know you guys continually look and evaluate that thing.
We do. We did just announce some modifications to some of the winter seasons. Back in the fall, we had announced some changes to the speech debate theater with canceling some of our theater events. Our state championships and our district championships for speech and debate will be held virtually, not necessarily in person. So we're working through some logistics there on some of those events. Our music festival will be virtual as well, both our large group festival as well as the solo and ensembles. Both of those being virtual has a lot more to do with travel concerns as well as venue options, and not really having a solid number of venues to host those events. Also, with girls swimming, making the announcement that it's going to go much like what boys swimming was in the fall. And so timelines and everything will be the same. The major change there will be at the actual championships themselves. They'll still be at the Recplex as always, but there will not be any spectators allowed. And that is to allow for more social distancing between the teams and the actual competitors there. So that's what we had to do with the boys swimming in the fall, and look to continue that with the girls this winter.
With the pandemic, how often do you visit that issue as to whether to continue various sports seasons?
Well, it's there's some form of discussion every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be, are we okay? Yep, okay, we're good. And then there may be new information that comes up that either a venue we wanted to use or we're planning to use may not be able to accommodate us now. And so we have to look for a different venue. And it may be that we have a number of schools that will not be able to compete. But two of the major changes for this winter are with basketball and wrestling. With wrestling, instead of having a three-day event spread out over 3 days at one venue at Mizzou Arena, what we're looking at is having five separate events, five separate one-day events. So Class 1 wrestling will happen on one day from start to finish. girls wrestling will happen on one day, start to finish, instead of having multiple days where people have overnight stays or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're also, in order to accommodate a one-day event, we have to reduce the number of qualifiers coming to the state championships. So instead of 16 qualifiers in each weight class, it'll only be 12. And that is mostly due to the number of matches a wrestler can wrestle in a day. So that's another major change. We're also going from four big districts to eight districts, and then also adding a sectional round. Wrestling is one that has gone from the district level to the state level, and not have a sectional or quarterfinal like some of the team sports have. This year, we'll go from districts to sectional, and that'll be similar to golf and tennis, where the sectional round will be comprised of two districts coming together and then moving on to the state championships.
We're going to talk about basketball in just a second. I get asked this question quite a bit. As far as attendance at winter sports events, is it up to the schools to decide, as an example, whether to take temperatures before you come into the game, whether masks are required, how many people can attend, say, a basketball game? Who makes? Are the schools the ones that make that decision, or do you guys give them some guidance?
For regular season contests?
Yes.
That is a school decision. What our guidance is that you must follow whatever local health orders are in place, put in place by either local health directors or local city governments or county governments. Whatever they say is what you need to follow.
That
seemed to work out pretty well in the fall.
All right, basketball district assignments were released yesterday. Basketball, first of all, adds a sixth class. A lot of schools moving between classifications when you take a look at last year versus this year. And you have a situation, I think, Helias and Father Tolton, two examples, where the boys are in one class, the girls are in another class. As an example, for Helias' boys, they move from class 4 to class 6. The Lady Crusaders move from class 4 to class 5.
Right. We have two new scenarios this year. One is the classification process itself, and that is with the 2.0 differential on trying to keep the enrollment sizes closer in tune with each other as far as the largest school in the class and the smallest school in the class. And because of that, a sixth class was needed to be added. Then once, based on raw enrollment, we have things classified, we have the championship factor.
Right.
And that applies to non-public schools that have obtained so many points over the last 6 years. And it does lead to scenarios, as you pointed out, where a boys team and a girls team may be in two different classifications. And we've had some of that happen in other sports as well. But trying to maintain those enrollment sizes is one of the top priorities.
Jason, you guys have changed the way the district will be set up as far as postseason basketball is concerned. We want to talk a little bit about that, because it used to be a situation, here are the district assignments, and then the schools would determine who's going to host the district. Seems to me, and based on what you guys sent out yesterday, it sounds to me like the top seed in the district will host a first-round district game, and the number two seed would host a district game as well. And if that's the case, boy, it'll be interesting seed meetings this year, won't it?
We kind of anticipate that. There may be a little bit more gamesmanship than what has happened in the past, but That is one of the big changes for basketball in using the format that a lot of the other sports have for the district tournament. Instead of having one central site, one of the two participating teams will host that game. And then also using that same formula for the sectional and quarterfinal rounds as well, that it will be hosted by one of the teams and not necessarily at a neutral site. That being said, one exception to that, it would be the district championship game. If the district committee decides they would rather have a neutral site for the championship game, they may do so prior, but that decision has to be made prior to the seed meeting taking place.
And as you mentioned in the past, neutral sites for sectionals and state quarterfinals, a lot of those played on university basketball floors, as an example for basketball. And basically for this year, you're talking about those being hosted by schools, high schools, right?
Correct. And so there would be there might be a little bit more travel involved for one of the teams, but due to kind of lack of venues, again, we've used a lot of university campuses and junior colleges and things like that. Those places have their own seasons going on, and those seasons have been pushed back as well. So there was very limited occupancy, I guess you could say, and limited choices there, and having trouble finding neutral sites that would be in the middle of two possibilities. And so that kind of helped lead to the decision of going to host sites instead of neutral sites.
And sometimes you have a situation, let's go to a district title game as an example. Sometimes schools will, in that district, will determine that the boys' championship will be played on one night, the girls' championship would be played on another night, and then once you get out, the district title winners then in the sectionals and quarterfinals, it would be a boys-girls doubleheader. It sounds to me like that's probably going to be different this year.
It will. And, the district committee will still have the autonomy and ability to choose how that championship game is played, whether it's at a neutral site, boys, girls on the same night or on different nights, or, at a host site, there's some different possibilities there. But for the sectional round and the quarterfinal round, there are predetermined dates for those games. Boys would be played on one night, girls would be played the next night, and that is really the big reason there is to help with officials and making sure that we have a number of officials that can be able to officiate those games. We go with a three-man crew for the playoffs, or a three-person crew for the playoffs, and helping ensure that we have the right number of officials available. And especially for classes 1, 2, and 3, when they're going to be playing their sectionals and quarterfinals, that's going to be during the same time that class 4, 5, and 6 are playing their districts. So to make sure we have enough officials to cover those games.
When you get to the Show Me Showdown, in the past with five classifications, you had one weekend where it was classes 1, 2, and 3, and then the next weekend classes 4 and 5. I would assume that with 6 classes, you split that pretty much down the middle, 1, 2, and 3 one weekend, 4, 5, and 6 the other weekend. That's the first question. Second one is, where will it be played?
That is still the plan, to have two weekends, 1, 2, and 3 together, and then 4, 5, and 6 together. Our plan is to still have those on the same weekends as scheduled in March, and over a three-day period, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And the plan is still to be at the campus of Missouri State University using JQH Arena and the Hammonds.
Jason, it looks to me, when you take a look at all of this information, a lot of thought went into all of this process.
There were a lot of discussions, both with venues and with the board of directors, just running possibilities by a lot of internal discussions of, well, what if we do this? What if we do that? Would this be possible? Especially trying to, on the wrestling side, and trying to determine the different types of brackets that you have and how many qualifiers for this level and that level, how to run a sectional tournament now. That's something new. On the basketball side, there was a lot of discussion on the formulas that needed to be used to determine who would host when, and a lot of that. Fortunately, we have some background knowledge in that because other sports use it. So it was a fairly easy comparison, but each sport has its unique nuances that add to that, and trying to take those into consideration did lead to a lot of discussions.
One other quick question before I let you go. I get asked this quite a bit. Why do we have four team districts?
You know, that a lot of that has to do with travel.
Mm-hmm.
We can have larger districts, taking two of those 14 districts and put them together and make an 18 district. And in some areas of the state, that's not a problem, especially in the metro areas, St. Louis, Kansas City, even in the Springfield area. In some classes, that's not a problem. There's eight schools within a 20-minute driving span. But in some areas of the state, and Northeast, for example, in Class 1, there's one school and there's not another school within an hour and a half away from it because they're in different classifications.
Mm-hmm.
And so having those larger districts that might span, a three-hour radius in some cases from the northernmost school to the southernmost point, is difficult. And one of the reasons why we're making this move is trying to help with those travel concerns during the week, especially for those district tournaments and sectional games and quarterfinal rounds. That's where a smaller district, more smaller districts than fewer larger districts, comes in handy.
Jason, always appreciate the information. I tell you what you gave us today, it's going to be interesting at some of these seed meetings as far as basketball is concerned.
It will. It'll definitely be something different that people take into consideration. But we're still hoping that the winter goes as smoothly as the fall did, and we still have an opportunity to have postseason.
Jason, appreciate your time this morning. Have a good weekend.
Thanks a lot, Kevin.
Thank you. Jason West, the Missouri State High School Activities Association Communications Director. A lot of information with regards to the winter sports. Hope you were able to get all of that in and write it down so we know where we're headed next. All right, back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Now is the time to prepare the money you've saved in your 401k or deferred comp plan to work for you for the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Let Greg help make your retirement everything you imagined. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
UFOs. Pandemics. Hurricanes. Could this be the most epic action thriller movie of all time?
No, it's just 2020, a good year to stay indoors. So let Beautiful Home Interiors help you make your home your happy place. They can help you plan and design the best flooring, window treatments, cabinets, and more. Leave 2020 at the door and make your interior superior. BeautifulHomeInteriors.com.
Cold weather. Ironically, it burns you. Trying to keep your house warm dries out the air and makes your throat scratchy. Your sinuses itchy and your skin dry.
Alma, my face feels like old dried leather. Again.
Uncomfortable.
At AirServe, we believe the air you breathe should be comfortable and clean. Bring your home to the perfect humidity level with a humidifier from AirServe and keep your skin looking and feeling like a baby's bottom.
Comfortable.
Visit AirServe.com and make an appointment today.
My skin is so soft.
Your car wants to look its best. The paint, the trim, the wheels, the tires, they want to show off in all of their sparkling glory. And your car isn't alone. Give the gift of clean this holiday season. Quick Car gift cards are the perfect stocking stuffer for anyone on your list. Choose Quick Car gift cards in any amount for unlimited shine and perpetual cheer. Quick Car. Quick, easy, and professional every time in Jefferson City and Osage Beach.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Today over at the Capital City High School, it's the 9th annual River Region Credit Union Shootout. 6 games on tap. The first one, California against Tipton. And joining us is California Lady Pintos head basketball coach Bobby Sangster. Coach, you've been involved with this shootout a long time, haven't you? Let me give you the schedule while we try to get Coach Bobby Sangster back on the line. It's the 9th annual River Region Credit Union Shootout. Here's your schedule. Total to 6 games. The first one will be at 11:30, a girls' basketball game between California and Tipton. At 1 o'clock, a boys' basketball game as Southern Boone meets Iberia. At 2:30, a girls' basketball game as Herman takes on the Blair Oaks Lady Falcons. At 4 o'clock, it's a boys' basketball game, Herman against St. Elizabeth. At 5:30, it is a girls' basketball game between the Capital City Lady Cavaliers and St. Elizabeth. And then at 7 o'clock, the final ball game, the Capital City Cavaliers against the Stratford Indians. We'll have that broadcast for you right here on KWOS, 6:45 with our pregame show, 7 o'clock with the play-by-play. Stratford played last night, did not see their final score, but heading into their ball game last night, they are undefeated on the season. Capital City Cavaliers undefeated as well. At 5-0, 6:45 with our pregame show, 7 o'clock with the play-by-play. I think we have on the line with us Coach Bobby Sangster, head basketball coach for the California Lady Pintos. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, sir. How are we doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, getting by. Excited for a good day of basketball.
9th annual shootout, and I think you've been involved with it just about every year, haven't you?
I think so. We may have missed a year along the way, but this is a pretty important shootout for us in our program. We're excited to be a part of it again for another year.
All right, talk about your basketball team.
Well, we've got a great group of young ladies. I returned 10 varsity players from a year ago. They're headlined by All-State guard Tristan Porter, seniors Mara Pardo and Lauren Hill. And then we've got some good mix of youth coming up through, I think, five juniors and a couple sophomores, and then we're going to pull some freshmen up today to give us a little extra depth. But great group of kids. They're working their tails off, and they're talented. There's a lot of talent here, and we're still trying to figure out exactly what way to address the season, but I think we've got a lot of potential to have a really nice season ahead of us.
Well, you've got a great program over in California. I think 3 of the last 4 years, 20-plus wins. You were 21-6 last year, I believe.
Yeah. The girls have really bought into what we're trying to do, and they work extremely hard. And it's more than just the 4 years that they're here. You know, the key to our success is the parents and the community, and the kids get involved early on, and then they've played basketball since they were in first grade, third grade, fifth grade. You know, everybody loves basketball around here, and especially loves girls basketball. So they put the work in, and when it comes to the high school level, it pays off.
Boy, you played in a state title game not too long ago, did you?
Yeah. It feels like it's been a while ago, but it was a great experience for us. And you know, these seniors were freshmen at that time, and Tristan was able to be a part of that, and the other two remember it. And I know they're real hungry to maybe get back to some sort of semblance of that.
Coach, when you take a look at this entire schedule, and again, 6 games today at the shootout, you are taking on Tipton. I believe they're undefeated at 4-0. This looks like a heck of a basketball game.
Yeah, this is a Montesquieu County rivalry that we used to play in the regular season, but that kind of got nixed here a few years ago. And you know, Tipton's been really, really successful in the recent history. They played for a state title last year, so they're really, Coach Culpepper does a fantastic job. They're a very good program. They've got a lot of skill, a lot of talent, and hopefully, you know, this kind of renews our rivalry, and we can get them on the schedule more and more. But it should be hopefully we can keep up with them. We've got a few girls banged up, but hopefully we can put on a good show today and kick off the showcase the right way.
Boy, the Cardinals are averaging, I think, 63 points a ball game on offense and giving up just 25 points a game on defense.
Yeah, they're extremely tough. Extremely tough. They shoot the 3 well. They've got athletes that come off the bench and play all over the floor. the class girl is able to handle the basketball for them and put them in the right spots. And they just, they do things the right way. They attack the glass very hard. They're very, very, stubborn defensively. They're in the right spots, and you're going to have to beat them. They're not going to beat themselves, and it's going to be a tough ball game for us. It's going to be a good matchup for us. And you know, we're not firing. We're not playing our best yet, but, that's what happens. They pull the best. They're ready to compete and are able to take a little adversity on and able to step up to the challenge of facing Tipton.
As we mentioned, a great program over at California, great one as well at Tipton. I think at least 20 wins for them in six of their last seven seasons.
Yeah. Coach Culpepper has a tremendous job. You know, he's just built, and they've been dominant in their conference and dominant in their district, and he's had a lot of postseason success as well. So it's exciting to see a team like that so close to us continue to have success, and we rooted for them real hard last year when they made their postseason run, and we're happy for them. And now this year, you know, we get to compete against them, and hopefully they drive to make us better. And hopefully we come over and have a real nice ball game tonight.
Coach, 30 seconds left to go in our program. What's your number one captain?
We've got to control the basketball. We've got to make sure that we limit our turnovers, and it always helps if we can and not knock a shot or two in. We haven't shot the ball real well so far this year, and they have, and that could be a big key in the ball game. So we got to take care of the basketball. We got to control the basketball, getting rebounds, and then we got to knock some shots in.
Coach, thanks for the visit. Good luck today.
Hey, thanks so much. Always great to be on, and thank you so much for letting us be a part of this wonderful event.
Thanks, Coach. Have a good day.
You too.
California Lady Pintos head basketball coach Bobby Sangster against six games over at Capital City High School. It's the 9th annual River Region Credit Union Shootout. Starting it off will be California against Tipton at 11:30. We'll have a ball game at 6:45 tonight. Capital City against Stratford. We'll see you next week on
News
the Coach's
Radio
Show.
950 KWOS and on FM at 104.5 KWOS Jefferson City, K283 CL Jefferson City. It's 8 o'clock.